Right, well, we have a bottle of lemonade, we have a handful of raisins, and I think that means it's time to find out what's happening with this week's Kitchen Science. So I shall hand everything over to Dave.
OK, so I'll open the lemonade. I'll pour it into the glass. Actually, I'm using a jar. I'm going to try and pour it so as not to lose too much of the fizz, so I'll pour it in gently.
So he's pouring it down the side of the jar, the glass. Good, a good canful there, I think he's got. Excellent.
Okay. And now we'll just chuck in some little currants.
OK, so they've mostly sunk to the bottom, but... Oh, goodness, what's going on out there? They're popping back up to the surface and are covered in lots of silvery bubbles. They look very pretty, actually.
I could just interject here. We have heard from Red Lace Celine, who I think is in Second Life, who says they took some California raisins, seedless ones, if that's significant, Dave, and they dropped them into Abbott Ale. So the slightly more upmarket version of the experiment. They said they went up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down, and blah, 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 blah. Clive Munson said they sunk to the bottom, got a coating of bubbles due to, he points out, nucleation, rose to the top, lost the bubble, dropped again. Said he's actually seen Paul Daniels do this and wrote about it in a magic book in the 1980s. So there you go, a bit of Paul Daniels magic on the neck of science. Well,
magic science or vice versa. Yep, so basically what's happened, they're exactly right. In lemonade, the reason why it's fizzy, the reason why it tastes quite, some part of the reason why it tastes acidic, is there's lots of carbon dioxide gas dissolved in there. It's been dissolved under pressure, so you've got lots of extra carbon dioxide in there. As soon as you release the pressure, that wants to escape. It does that at the surface just by sort of evaporating off, but when it's deep down, it wants to form bubbles. It can't form bubbles in the middle of the liquid very well because there's a force called surface tension which tends to collapse them and crush the very small bubbles. So they need to get big enough to start with. If you give them an object to start on, it's much easier. So bubbles tend to start on the both the raisins and on the glass itself. And so slowly the bubbles get bigger and bigger and bigger as more carbon dioxide comes out of solution until eventually the raisin floats. It floats up to the surface and they pop and they sink back down again. And it's really quite...
It's really mesmerising, I have to say. They're still going and I think I can watch them for ages. They're alive. It's amazing. It's wonderful. And they're very pretty too. I like it. Silvery bubbles, gorgeous.
Yeah. It's related to the trick where if you get some sugar and drop it in your mate's glass of Coke, the whole that gives you lots of nucleation spikes, so you get lots and lots of bubbles and the
you
whole
used
stuff
to do that
goes
too.
All over.
But it's sort of the Mentos and Coke experiment is all based around the same thing.
Yeah, it's all
it?
Based around the same thing, nucleating bubbles so they can form more easily those that you do it really, really explosively.
Because if you watch the bubble size as they rise up, they do actually get bigger as they go up through the glass. And it's nothing to do with pressure so much as that there's already a bubble there, which means it's much easier for it to gather more gas from the water around it on the way up, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really quite noticeable if you do the Mentos Coke thing, although you probably don't want to be close enough to see the size of the bubbles while you're doing it.
Indeed. Well, thank you very much, Dave. Look, we've also got a wonderful question here, which I think probably the pair of us could do a reasonable job on. So, and by the way, Dave's Kitchen Science experiment is on the web at nakedscientist.com/kitchenscience.